On today's episode, Al and I are going to be telling you all you need to know about the 2024 UKC Tournament of Champions. You'll want to stay tuned for this one.
You're listening to the UKC Hunting Ops Podcast, celebrating hunting dog heritage, competition, and community. United Kennel Club has been the hunting dog sports home for coonhounds, beagles, retrievers, pointers, cur, feist, and more for over 125 years.
This podcast is fueled by Yukonuba, the official performance dog nutrition partner of UKC. Welcome back to the UKC Hunting Ops Podcast. This is Trevor Wade. I'm the Coonhound Program Manager at UKC, and I'm joined today, as usual, by the Director of Hunting Ops, Alan Gingrich. What's going on today, Alan?
Yeah, just another day at the office, another Tuesday. I got a lot of things on our plates right now, working on a lot of things. I'm getting ready for a squirrel hunt this weekend, a new one, actually. We have our national runoff this weekend for Dog of the Year for both Kerr and Feist, so I'm getting ready for that. It'll be down in Kentucky. Plus, the new thing we're adding to that is Derby Day. So it's for dogs that are less than 2 years of age. And we're going to have a king and a queen crown a king and a queen, I guess, for the Derby this weekend. So I'm excited for it. Hopefully, it's something we can grow the squirrel dog program a little bit. So, yeah.
Yeah, kind of exciting stuff. I guess the plan is to maybe take some of the stuff down there and get some content, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to take the podcast stuff there, and hopefully we can have I can record some stuff with the squirrel dog guys for sure. Maybe some of the winners and others too. We'll see.
Yeah, I guess in addition to that, we got a couple major events on the horizon. Some entries open for some stuff. I know you got your Clash of Champions for your Beagle. Those entries are open. Getting ready for Hunting Beagle Nationals on the Coonhound side. We're gearing up for the Tournament of Champions. So. And that's kind of what today's podcast is going to be about. We're going to be talking all about the TOC.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's that time again, man. Me too. I'm excited about it as well. What is this, year number four? Gosh.
This is the fourth year of it already.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to start out today. We're going to talk about some of the breakdowns that we have, talk about the regions. People who may not know yet, most should know by now. Talk about some of the top performing dogs of the year, and then we'll get into some FAQs. And we always like to talk about some of the questions that we get pretty regularly from folks out there. And that'll be one thing that we're going to talk about today as well. So we're going to start out with some exciting news. For the first time ever in the short history of the Tournament of Champions, we broke the 1,400 mile or marker here as far as qualified dogs go, actually sitting at 1,401 dogs as of today, which is actually up over 70 over the past couple of years.
Yeah, that's quite a bit, actually, if you think about it. That's 70 more dogs with a total of 5 cast wins. That's great. Burkholder's been telling us, for the last 2 years, you're going to bust 1,400. Matter of fact, I think he said 1,500. So we squeaked past 1,400 mark this year. That's pretty cool. You know, speaking of numbers like that, you know, Trevor, when I first looked at it, I was just the year before you started here. I did a query of how many dogs had at least 5 cast wins throughout the year. And I want to say, I'd have to go back and look, but I want to say that number was less than 400 different dogs that had at least a minimum of 5 cast wins. And now we're up to looking at 1,400. Yeah, the program's working.
Yeah. I think the intent behind the program is exactly what you had originally thought, and you're bringing out. It's not like we have a ton more hunters now than we did then, but people are hunting dogs longer. They're not just getting their Grand Knight Champion title and quitting, and we're also getting some folks in who probably haven't competed in our events in a while, and we're seeing that at our major events and specifically, you know, the Tournament Champions, I think.
Yeah. Let me turn my phone off here. It's already beeping here. So.
A popular guy.
Go ahead, Trevor. Sorry about that.
Yeah. No, hey, all good. All good. So let's talk about the entries for it. You know, at this time, we're getting close to the end of entries. This is coming out on Wednesday, March 8th. I believe that's right. The week of the entries and entries open back on February 1st and they close on March 11th. So that's a Monday this year. So we're doing that a little bit different with our new entry format, and people seem to like our new entry website that we're using, but midnight Eastern time on Monday, March 11th will be your last that'll be the end of it. So be sure you get your dogs entered up as soon as possible.
Yeah, and we've closed our entries on a Monday by design, or did that intentionally. And that is because a lot of times if we did it, usually we did it on Friday night at midnight, and you and I would get a lot of calls on Saturday, you know, hey, I didn't get in, this or that, you know, and you know, things like that. So hopefully, you know, they'll still have another day or two, another business day if they had issue for those that are waiting till the very last day or the last weekend to get entered. So, yeah. I took some today again. I took several entries today over the phone.
Yeah, I've been keeping kind of a close eye on it. Always do. Whenever we have entries open, I can't help but check it just about every time I open up my computer. And they're rolling in pretty decent, so I'm excited for that. But, hey, you mentioned one thing that maybe we should talk about. If anybody has any issues with the new system and they're waiting until the last minute, we trust you guys. You know, we're friends with a lot of you guys who reach out to us, but we have to have some kind of proof that you were trying to enter. So if you're having trouble on your computer or your phone getting entered before the deadline, screenshot what's happening to you and let us know before the deadline, so that way we at least know you were trying to enter before the deadline and not maybe after the deadline. Kind of help us out there a little bit so we can help you.
Yeah, and another way is just email us. If you can't get entered for whatever reason, just send us an email that, hey, I tried to enter this dog, and give us all the information you can. We can collect payment, you know, over the phone if we have to, but at least make an attempt to do everything you can. You know, with, like you said, with nothing for us to go back on to show that you made any attempt or what have you, then we can't really help you. And that's a shame. You did everything. The hunter did everything, get their five cast wins. And the other thing I would say is, hey, don't wait till the last minute to enter. You know, get that done well in advance of that Monday, March the 11th. That's the other thing. We'll pick on you a little bit, you know, but we get it. Every year there's a couple that, and we'll have some this year, I'll bet. But hey, I think it helps if we can get the word out a little bit. You know, it eliminates some of those.
Yeah, I guarantee there'll be a couple roll in at 11:55. So help yourself out a little bit.
Yeah,
the entire time this program's been going on, we've done online entries only. We haven't had any mailed in entry forms or anything like that. To get to the entry form, you just go to ukcdogs.com and you can follow the prompts to get to the tournament champions page. Or you can just type in this this address right here, ukcdogs.com/UKC-tournament-of-champions. And there's going to be event ads, there's going to be rules, there's going to be the FAQ sheet, and then there'll be the link to go to the online entry. So it's simple enough. If you're having any trouble navigating our website, then reach out to us in the hunting ops department. You can email us, like you said. You can chat us during business hours, or you can simply call the hunting ops department, option 2, and one of us can help walk you through it or just plain do it for you over the phone. We do that every day, so easy enough.
Yeah. And those invites that we mail out to them, they don't have to have that to enter anything. They can do it without that. If they didn't happen to get one or it got stuck in the mail or something, don't worry. You don't have to have that information in front of you. You can do it right now without it.
Yeah, that
just so long as your dog's so long as your dog's qualified. Yeah, so long as the dog's qualified, you can't enter a dog that's not qualified, because there's a list there of those that are qualified. So it's not going to accept one that is not on that list. And the most unique thing when entering a dog is what, Trevor? The thing that has to be perfect, not the name.
No, the dog's UKC number. And
you got it.
And it'll tell you right there below it, keep the punctuation out. I always seem to get a couple of messages about that, and I'll say, take the comma out. Like, oh, I missed that.
So, yeah, you're talking about the comma or the, yeah, you're talking about the comma or the dash in the dog's UKC number. So, yep. Or a D if the number has a D at the end, which denotes duplicate. If a dog has a duplicate registration or whatever, don't need to put that D in there, but just the first letter followed by the 6 digits with no commas, no nothing else. You'll be fine. But that has to be accurate there. That has to match a dog that is qualified.
That's right. And like you said, those information sheets are nothing more than kind of just telling you where the entry locations are, telling you about hotels in the area, giving you times and deadlines and that sort of thing. And then also the little certificate in there just for your note keeping, for your dog's recognition. So don't have to have that to enter, just something cool to have. So
You know, one thing I'll add to that, Trevor, is when folks go onto our website, there's a picture. We call him Butch, the TOC icon, or the dog head, you know, with the long ears, the blue guy. We call him Butch. But they sometimes, I think they're looking for a link or something. You just simply click onto that picture and it will pop up.
Yeah.
Or the logo.
Yeah.
I
so,
guess,
hey,
so
let's
speak.
Let's talk about the region locations a little bit. Obviously, the regions are going to be March 29th and 30th this year. And as we have the past couple of years, we now have six different region locations trying to meet the demand of all the places. Obviously, we added in Indiana last year for the first time just because of some issues we had, or just because Ohio was getting overran with the number of entries they were having. So again, we have six. We're going back to Northern Missouri, Kirksville, Missouri this year. They're going to be at the Northeast Missouri Fairgrounds there. Call it Nemo Fairgrounds. Most will be familiar with that up in Kirksville, Missouri. Region 2 is going to be LaGrange County Fairgrounds there in Northern Indiana, in LaGrange, Indiana. Region 3 is going to be Morrow County Fairgrounds in Mount Gilead, Ohio. It's been there ever since the inception. They've been hosting a Region 4 ever since the inception of the event. Meigs County Fairground is a new one this year in Decatur, Tennessee. So they'll be hosting a Region 4 this year, kind of centralized in the middle of everything. Arkansas Wildlife Management Building in Conway, Arkansas is again going to be a region location. Again, that's one that's been around since the very start. And another new one this year is in Manning, South Carolina at a place they call Book and Bull Farms. It's a place where they have some major events down there. They have their Hall of Fame hunt there in South Carolina every year. So there's your six different region locations. Try to spread them out best we can to give everybody a decent drive. Obviously, I know some have to drive further than others, but hopefully everybody has a reasonable drive.
Yeah. Those are some great locations as well. You know, like you mentioned, a couple new ones there, and I think it'll be some good ones.
Yeah. I'm excited to see how it works out for them there in their first years. But let's talk about the qualified dogs now. First, we'll start out with some breed and sex breakdowns. Black and Tans had 89 of the 1,400 qualifiers this year. That's up one from last year, so pretty consistent with last year. We had three Leopards, so nothing changed there. Blue Ticks had 118, which is actually down 13 this year, so that's interesting. Blue Ticks kind of went down a little bit. English, 172
English,
qualifiers this year. Yeah, down 13 as well. Plots is up one this year, up to 18. Red Bones down 5 to 35. And here's the real interesting thing. Walker's already kind of dominated this field the past couple of years, but this year, 929 qualifiers, and that's up 103 dogs from last year. That kind of caught my eye. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And, yeah, and to round out the breeds, X-breeds obviously continue their trend with 37 this year. So all in all, 1,401 dogs, which is up just about 70-some over last year. So good breakdown.
Yeah, and I see you have 800, little over 800 males and just under 600 females is the breakdown for males and females.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how many of them get entered now. That'll be our next step. You know, I kind of jotted, it's not in our spreadsheet here, but I kind of jotted it down back in 21 in our first year at 655 entries into the actual TOC regions. 22, we had 795. And then last year we bumped up to over the 800 mark with 804. So I'd like to hopefully we'll get past that number. It seems to be trending up as well.
Yeah. You know, here again, for an entry fee of $150, you know, for a chance to win $50,000 for first, and for the whole purse is $250,000 again. So that's, anybody can compete in this. They can afford to compete in this one. And I think that's why it's been so immensely popular, and it's what we wanted.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one cool thing about this time of year, and I know it may drive some people crazy, but I love to see it on social media when everybody's getting their certificates and they're posting them on Facebook. And it's not just the usual suspects that we see at major events or at some of the high dollar events that we keep track of. It's everybody. It's everybody on my newsfeed seems like they have at least one dog qualified. And it doesn't matter if they just go to a couple events a year, if they just go around their house or what. It seems like I see those pictures everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see quite a few as well. But the one thing I see a little bit different this year, it seems like folks are getting theirs on different days. A couple of years ago, a lot of them were getting theirs, the bulk of them were getting them on the same day. But I think that's just the mail system, the way the mail system is, some places just takes longer for them to get them. And some haven't got them yet, you know, or as of the day of this recording. But yeah. Yeah, it's kind of cool to see those folks posting theirs they take pictures of them. You can see their dog name on it and all this and that. So it's pretty cool. What is the top five state? Did you do the state breakdown again this year?
Yeah, I did the top states here as well. And one cool note, Kyle, who's there producing it, had a cool note in some stuff that he sent over to me. 21 states this year either tied or set records for most qualifiers. I know we're only in the fourth year of this, but that kind of tells us that not only are we seeing an upward trajectory just in certain areas of the country, but it seems to be kind of across the board. 21 states, that represents a pretty good bulk of our hunting area.
Yeah, it does for sure. And that's good. That's good to see.
But as for the top five performance states is actually the exact same top five as last year in the same order, starting out with Kentucky, Indiana, and Ohio, 1, 2, 3 for the fourth year. All 4 years, that's been 1, 2, 3 in our top qualifying states.
Yeah.
Missouri came in at 4 and Tennessee 5, same top five as last year. So those states seem to be trending pretty well. Some of our biggest jumps this year, South Carolina, increase of 17 dogs overall. West Virginia increased by 11, Michigan by 10, Missouri by 9, and Ohio by 9. So a couple of them we saw on the biggest drops last year, so I'm glad to see them picking back up. And then Ohio, who's always near the top with a good increase too. So interesting list there, a little bit of mix and match.
Yeah. Yeah, and then some. I see you also had a couple of the states that dropped a little bit: Arkansas, Mississippi, Vermont, Minnesota, Kansas, and Indiana dropped. You have them on the drop list. They only dropped 4. So, and most of those aren't big drops; they're just little drops, really. Arkansas might have had, you know, they had what, 9 or 10, I guess. But yeah,
yeah, a couple of those are a little nitpicky. It's just there wasn't many states that had drops at all. So you almost just. Maybe we should just left them off there, but great showing by all the states this year. And hopefully, seems to be more clubs trying new things. It seems like every day I'm talking to a new club that are trying different things to get more people in. And I think with that, we're going to see more participation and hopefully, you know, even better numbers for number of dogs qualified in certain areas through the year. So.
Yep. And you know, the one thing that this program has done, so we keep track, we record the cast wins, so we have a running list of all of them. We put them by the most cast wins, and so that also allows us to do a top 10. We're going to kind of go over those dogs, the top 10 dogs that earn the most cast wins this year, right?
Yeah, we are. I got them right here, and we'll start out with number one. And this dog's pretty much led the way for the entire year. This is Grand Champion, Grand Knight Champion 5, Swamp Thing Honey. She's a 3-year-old Trian Walker female owned by Tom Froese Jr. and Stacy Smitherman from Pawnee, Oklahoma. 38 cast wins this year.
Yeah, that dog's off of a dual grand Combs Wheeler and a dual grand female named Mosier's White Ice. But Tom Froese, he's pretty proud of that female, and rightfully so. Yeah, that's a ton of cast wins. He hit a lot of hunts to get that.
Absolutely, and I don't think they're letting up much. I just talked to him actually yesterday on the phone, and we were talking a little bit about Triple Crown and some different things, so maybe he's got his eye on a different prize this year, so we'll see how that works out.
Yeah.
Second place here in 2023 cast wins is Grand Knight Champion 4, Big Timber Turbo. That's only a 1-year-old Trian Walker male owned by Benjamin Clausen, and he's in Roan Mountain, Tennessee. 36 cast wins this year, so just a couple short of honey there.
Yeah, that dog is off a Grand Knight Champion Hall of Fame dog called Bennett Springs Joe, and the mother is Raglan's Wipeout Dot. Roan Mountain, that's over in eastern Tennessee, I think. That's up in the mountains up there. That's in the hills.
You got to like hunting to do it up there.
And 36 cast wins, my goodness. Yeah, that's over east of Rogersville, I think, isn't it? You're more familiar with that area than I am, but...
Yeah, it's somewhere in that area, that steep area. But one interesting thing is I actually just saw him on Facebook this past weekend, and he actually got qualified for the World Championship this year at a qualifier in Mississippi. So he may get around a little bit.
There you go. Yeah, 36 cast wins. That's pretty impressive.
Number three dog this year is a grand champion, grand night champion for Hayes Cousin Charlie. That's a 7-year-old black and tan male owned by Jeff and Jordan Brown, and they're out of Bearden, Arkansas. 23 cast wins for that dog.
Grand Knight champion Collins Joe is that sire, and dual grand Black Iron Darla is the mother of that dog, Cousin Charlie. But yeah, a little bit older, black and tan. 23 cast wins. That's pretty impressive as well.
Absolutely. And to continue that trend, here's another black and tan tied for fourth here. Grand champion, Grand Knight champion too, McPherson's All In Double Deuce. That's a 2-year-old black and tan male owned by Charlie McPherson in Fordyce, Arkansas. 22 cast wins.
Yeah, this is off of Grand Knight Champion 2, Wilson and Holman's Royal Cable 2. I think we saw that dog at the Winter Classic competing this year. And the mother is Grand Knight Champion Wilson's Royal Black Sadie 2, another dog we talked about, I think, a lot on some of our one of our reproduction podcasts. I wonder if we had did those on the top reproducing females. Seems like Black Sadie was in there. But yeah, another black and tan.
Yeah, I'd expect to see both of those black and tans running the roads a little bit this year. I think those guys kind of travel together, and they have pretty good luck wherever they go, backing some good dogs. Next one here is one you see a lot of major events throughout the year. Grand Knight Champion 4, Keegan's Buggy Whip. This is a 5-year-old Walker male owned by Gerald Keegan up in Montgomery, Michigan. 22 cast wins. I think old Garrett Brown toted this dog around for most of the year anyways.
He did, and he likes that dog. He's done a lot of winning with him, obviously. So Stylish Bushwhacker's a sire. That's a Grand Knight. And then he's off of the world champion Keegan's Letting Loose Lila. So maybe this is a year for this dog. He's been winning a lot, and he's been there at a lot of events, you know, been right there, you know, pretty solid hound there. So, and that's what it takes. But, yeah, congratulations to Garrett and the Keegans with Buggy Whip.
Also tied for fourth here is as another young dog, Grand Champion, Grand Knight Champion 2, Charles Treesing and Skybow. Just a 1-year-old Tree and Walker female owned by Ryan Charles in Van Zandt, Virginia. 22 cast wins as well.
Yep, this dog is off of a dual grand mountaintop slow talking bow, HTX2, and the mother is Grand Knight Sky's the Limit.
Just a young dog. So moving on to number 7 here, going down the list here, Grand Knight Champion 2, Pinkston's Insane Rodeo Bull. 2-year-old Tree and Walker male owned by Alan Pinkston of Mountain Home, Arkansas, with 21 cast wins.
Yeah, with that rodeo name, you might think it's off of the World Champion Rodeo, and it is, in fact, off of Mojo's Electric Rodeo, and the mother is off of another World Champion, Spavinaw Creek Insane Emmy, Lane Denny's female that won the World Hunt, 2018 maybe? 2019,
and then rodeo in
2019. Yeah, yep. Hey, Emmy had a litter of pups off of Willie, the world champion Willie, and here is one off of the world champion rodeo.
Lane's picky when picking those sires.
Yeah.
Eighth place here is a dog that's made it pretty far, and then our Tournament of Champions before, just as a young dog, and also made a run at the Triple Crown this year. That's Grand Knight Champion 4, True Grits Liquid Steel. That's a 2-year-old Tree and Walker male owned by Dustin Brummett in Crab Orchard, Kentucky. 19 cast wins.
Yeah, Grand Knight Champion Pusher's True Grit is the sire, and Grand Knight Nocturnal Xena is the mother to this dog, Liquid Steel. Yeah, another young dog, had a great year.
The other 2-year-old dog here, Grand Knight Champion, Grand Champion, Tanks Hardwood Crook. Just a 2-year-old Walker male owned by Adam Roach in Clarksville, Georgia. 18 cast wins. Another dog that made it to our top 100 this year. So a few of them on this list did.
Yeah, he's off of a Knight Champion Roach's Hardwood Tank, and the mother is Reason's Full Throttle Fancy.
And we had 3 here tied for 10th, so we'll give a few other dogs some credit here. First one would be Grand Knight Champion 5, Redmond's Black Rock. That's a 7-year-old black and tan male owned by Ted Feeler and Ron Jacobson of Vienna, Missouri. 17 cast wins.
Yeah, what is this, the third black and tan on our top 10 this year? This one is sired by Dual Grand Jones's Alabama Lick, and the mother is Dual Grand Crockett Black Wendy.
It's a dog that's had some luck in this event before. Also here, tied for 10th, is Champion, Grand Knight Champion 5, Split Creek Poseidon HTX. It's a 6-year-old English male owned by Kane Taylor in Aleda, Ohio. 17 cast wins this year.
Yeah, and he's off of the dual Grand English Taylor's Rasputin HTX, and the mother is a Grand Champion Clemens's Main Street Red Katie. That dog's done it. That dog's done a lot of winning. He wins a lot of casts. He was down at the Winter Classic, and I think didn't he win his cast both nights? Or might have been in the warm-up slams. I think he might have won. He put together several cast wins.
Yeah, Logan Douglas, a younger guy who's handled this dog quite a bit, was down there in Mississippi. And pretty much anytime you see these duos, they're winning some casts. I know he had some luck in the week. I don't know exactly what he won, but he at least won a couple of casts, and he's closing in on that Hall of Fame title. So.
Yeah, yeah.
And the last one here that we'll mention, tied for 10th, and this is interesting. This is our World Night Champion from last year, Grand Night Champion 4, Snooki's Cookie, 6-year-old Trian Walker female, owned by Justin and Steve Davenport in Hollywood, Florida. 17 cast wins this year.
Yeah, Cody Carter hunted that dog. He's hunted that dog a lot here in the last couple of years, won the world with her. She is off of Grand Night Champion R&R's Neosho Cuz, and Little's Snooki is the dam to Snooki's Cookie. But yeah, he just recently was in that super hunt where they had the UKC World Champion, PKC World Champion, and the Pro Sport Dog of the Year, and they had that little hunt down in Texas or whatever, those three dogs, and that was a good little production, man, a good little thing, I think, for the sport, you know, to showcase those three dogs like they did. And I just happened to watch it on the way, or part of it on the way to work this morning, and pulled it up, and yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, good job by Cody, and for Justin Davenport being down there to represent their UKC yeah. World Championship. Yep. Proud of him. Couldn't think of a better dog this year to do it.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, and just one other note here. The average number of cast wins per all the qualifiers this year, 6.56. So even though we have quite a few of the high number qualifiers we talked about here, a lot of those guys are getting their 5 cast wins and then moving on to the next dog, try to get it qualified. I've seen people entering 3, 4, 5 dogs at a time in their name, so there's a lot of that going on, it seems like. Alan, I know we both have new Dogtra Pathfinder 2s. How are you liking yours so far?
I'm liking it. I've even had the opportunity now to use mine where I didn't have service, where I download the map of that area, and it works flawlessly. Love it.
I agree. I really like my Dogtra Pathfinder 2 as well. I've used it quite a bit the past few months. I really like the crystal clear maps. I like that it doesn't lose service very much, and I don't have many bad things to say about it at all. Dogtra Pathfinder 2, the official GPS collar partner of UKC.
Hey, well, now we'll go ahead and shift gears now to the TOC finals a little bit and talk about the finals and some of the particulars about there before we get into the FAQs. The finals this year, like the past couple years, we're going to skip a weekend between the regions and then get to the weekend of our TOC finals. That's going to be April 11th through 13th this year, a 3-day event like it was last year. And again, going to be there at the Three Fat Labs Estate Wedding and Event Barn in Greencastle, Indiana. Everybody seems to really like that place, and we enjoy it, and they work with us and the hunters well, so appreciate that venue.
It's just a great venue to have. It's back off the road, you know, it's out of town, 3 or 4 miles maybe, and back off of the main roads and everything else, kind of buried back in there, nestled back in the woods. It just creates a great atmosphere, just the way the place is set up. And anybody that comes there, I don't know, you can feel it as soon as you walk in there. You can just feel it. It just feels different. And I love that place. So, yeah, looking forward to it again. It'll be here before we know it.
Absolutely. And it would be in such a nice place, and they host, you know, weddings and everything else there, and to let a bunch of 100 coon hunters come there on a Thursday night and with all kinds of dogs and everything else, that's just a reminder for everybody. Kind of clean up after yourself and make sure you don't leave a bunch of waste behind, or especially no trash, or if your dog uses the bathroom, just pick it up, and we'll have trash cans around for you to pick stuff up, and let's leave it better than we came in, because yeah, we're coon hunters, and that's what we do. We take care of people's stuff. We're respectful of people's property.
Yeah, the one thing I might mention for those that have never been there, you know, the as nice as the event is, the parking situation, it'll be pretty full when everybody's in there. The parking lots will be full. But one thing they don't have, like you would have at a regular fairgrounds, is like a lot of places to tie out dogs and things like that. You can get your dogs out, you can walk them and all this and that. It's a, there's a dirt road there that you can walk the dogs up and down, you know, and just, and outside of the parking lots and everything, but there's not really a whole lot for, you know, for you to, you know, fences and like you would have at a fairgrounds and things like that, you know, but, so, and most of these guys are going to have their, they'll have their dogs out and walking them around a little bit and put them back up, you know, and, but there's not a lot of tie outs and things like that, you know, around there, around the parking lot. So just so those that have never been there, so they're kind of aware of that.
Yeah. And obviously there's going to be 96 dogs that advance to the finals from the regions. We don't know what the breakdown will be. That's going to depend on how many dogs get entered into each region and how many dogs get entered overall. But you guys will know as soon as we know. We'll have, just shortly after entries closed, we'll post a whole list of the entries and how many dogs are advancing from each region and all that good stuff and who's going to make up our 96. So let's talk about the finals format a little bit. $250,000, like you said, $150 entry to win $250,000 up for grabs that weekend. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, we have three dogs in the final cast, the way it's set up, the format and everything for a three-dog final. And in that cast alone, they're going to be hunting for 100,000 of that 250. So first is going to get 50, second will get 30,000, and third place is going to be hunting for 20,000. So you make that final cast. Wow, I don't know. I still can't imagine how that would, what that would feel like as a handler. You know, obviously there's some other hunts that have big payouts like this or a big purse. You know, but that's a lot. You know, and really. How does that change your mindset as a handler, you know? And I'm sure some are, you know, some of the more experienced, you know, it's not that big of a deal, but for most, I can tell you for me, if you really think about it, that's a lot of money that you're hunting for and a big difference, you know, just between, you know, okay, 10,000 between third and second and third, 10,000, that's a lot of money in itself. The difference between second and third, then you know, first there's 20,000 between that and 30,000 difference between first and third. So that's a lot. But you know,
that's
here's,
a lot
here's
of money.
Yeah,
I was wondering why everybody's always in such a good mood on that final cast on the way out there. No wonder you're about to at least make 20,000.
Yeah, and you know, this will be the fourth year for it in 3 years. You know, that so far we've had zero issues in terms of, you know, as far as the night hunt. But I think that's a testament to the judges. We'll obviously want to make sure we have good, solid judges. And not just that. You know, we do a whole lot. We try to really lay out the red carpet at the finals, give them a nice place. It's a great atmosphere. And it's a coon hunt probably unlike any other that you've been there, you know, and we might be a little biased, and we are, I think, but I think most guys that have ever been there, they will tell you the same thing. There's just, it just has a little bit different feel. And the one thing that I will always give the hunters credit for, and they have always done their part as well. You know, we try to go the extra mile with making it nice and doing, it's not always perfect and things aren't always perfect, don't always work out the way you want them to as far as being as perfect, but they also step up and do their part and conduct themselves appropriately and reasonably, and that's all we can ask. And, man, kudos to the hunters that do that. Makes this, it's just a good day and a good weekend for the sport. And like I said, there's other events that are very prestigious as well, but this is certainly one of those that man, the sportsmanship and the coonhound world is it's a good platform for it. It's a great weekend.
Absolutely, it is. And besides that 100,000 there in the final cast you mentioned, there's going to be a lot more money given out that weekend just for making it there. If you just make it there and you lose your first round cast, you get $1,000.
Yep.
If you were to win your opening round cast. If you were to win your opening round cast and move on to round two and you lose that cast, you get a check for $3,500. And if you make it all the way to round three in that heads-up cast and you end up losing that one, you're still going to get take home a $5,000 check. So not too bad.
Yeah, so three to four different brackets, you know, yeah. First round, 1,000 if you're on. Second round non-winners, 3,500. And then the third round non-winners, that's a heads-up cast in the third round. That's 5,000 there. Then it jumps to 20, 30, and 50. So that's where the... That's how the 250 is broke down between 96 dogs.
Thursday's obviously the big night. That'll be when the bulk of the people are there. All 96 dogs will be competing. Theoretically, if no females come in heat or no truck issues or something pops up where somebody can't make it, we'll have 24 four-dog casts. Those will be two-hour hunts on Thursday night. We'll have non-hunting judges assigned to each cast. Aside from that, when you come up, what you'll do between 3 and 5 p.m., you'll come up and you'll confirm your entry at the front table. You actually select your cast number out of a box there, and you'll get your cast number right away, and we'll be putting the card, like labels on the cards as we go.
Yeah, we mentioned the parking lot. So when you get there at 3 o'clock or when we start at 3 o'clock, you're just going to bring your hound right up to the entry table to confirm. They're not going to let you confirm your entry without your dog. So just have your dog in hand, get in line. And that's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool little parade there of sorts, all those hounds lined up. You'd have to see it, you know. Again, those that have been there know what I'm talking about there. But have your hound in hand and... You're going to go up, confirm it, and like you said, you're going to draw your own cast number, and they're going to put you on the cast right away. And at 5 o'clock, we will have those breakdowns. The other thing that's cool about this, when you go sit down to eat at 5 o'clock, we'll also have it posted on the screens, all of the cast matchups. So that's kind of a cool little talking topic, you know, for while we're eating and things like that. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's super fun. It's super fun. And the thing I like about that, we started doing that, and the transparency of it right away. And if somebody comes up there, you drove 10 hours with your best buddy and you both draw the same cast number, at least you know right away, and you won't be giving me and Alan the stink eye from across the room.
Yeah.
So as soon as you confirm your entry and get your cast number, you'll just walk around to the back of the building, and there'll be people kind of coaching you along. You're going to go back there and get a nice photo in the back. And after that, you go put your dog up, and we got a nice catered dinner in there. Like you said, everybody will have kind of an assigned seat, so nobody has to feel awkward in there trying to find a place to sit or not feeling like they don't have a seat available. They'll know exactly where they're supposed to be sitting, and get some dinner, look at the cast matchups, and then get ready for a good hunt that night. Then we'll be moving on to Friday night. And Friday night, Saturday night, we're going to be doing it a little bit different this year. Used to be that we did our double round on Saturday night, but we've actually changed that. And just to be honest, a big part of it is for the live show part of it. We wanted to have the Saturday final cast as like the standalone main event type live show. So we're actually putting two rounds on Friday night this year. Starting out with obviously the 24 cast winners from Thursday night, we'll move on, and there'll be 6 4-dog casts early. Those will be 2-hour casts. And then the 6 cast winners from that are going to move on to a late round, where there's going to be 3 heads-up casts, so 3 2-dog casts late, and the winners of those 3 heads-up matchups will move on to the final cast on Saturday.
Yeah, so what this is going to amount to, instead of like we did normally or in the past, have a live show on Thursday and then nothing on Friday, but then again a live show on Saturday that had 2 rounds, we're now just going to have a live show on Friday. And then, that'll start late. You're going to probably mention or talk about that here in a bit. But then Saturday we'll have, just the 1 cast instead of 2, basically the heads up round and the final cast. That made for a long, long night. So I think the viewers will like this better as well.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing that it does for the hunters specifically is that we've been crowning our Tournament of Champions winner at, you know, 5 or 6 in the morning by the time both rounds are over and we get back to the fairgrounds and we go, you know, live, present them their big Happy Gilmore check and their trophy and their give their congratulations and all that stuff. It's 5 o'clock in the morning and there's very few that are still around watching it live by that time. And we want to give them, you know, the biggest platform we can. So let's get to hunting in the woods. You know, it gets dark still fairly early in middle of April. We can get out and get the hunt done, and hopefully we'll be crowning a tournament champions winner by midnight.
Yeah, and I think that hopefully that'll work out. We think it does. You know, it looks good on paper anyways, and looks I think it'll be an improvement, we think, for a couple of different things. And, you know, just because we won't interview all 24 cast winners on Thursday night like we did before, but they will all get their due credit. We'll have all those cast matchups and all that. They'll be part of the live show after draw in the first at that first live show on Friday. So they'll all get their due credit, and I think it'll be good.
Yeah. It's Thursday. We're still going to be doing a lot of stuff on our social media. Obviously going to be doing cast breakdowns and going to have results for everybody as they roll in. So you'll know cast winners as soon as they get in, and I can get them updated on our website and Facebook pages and all that good stuff. Friday, like you said, we're probably going to go live on the live show closer to 11:30 midnight. We don't have maybe exact details all straightened out just quite yet. But that's going to be a fun one. We're still going to be able to recognize all 24 of our cast winners from the night before. So each of those dogs are going to be talked about because they're going to be doing, our hosts are going to be doing kind of a cast breakdown type deal and talking about the sixth cast, the 24 dogs that are out at that time, talking about some of the favorites, some of the underdogs and that sort of thing. And then they'll be able to interview the sixth cast winners as they come in and talk about who's advanced to the next round. And I think it's important we give those six dogs a good spotlight, whereas maybe in years past, they kind of almost, the top six almost got, looked over a little bit.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it'll be good, and I think it'll be an improvement. We're gonna find out. That's the one thing I feel like we've done a pretty good job of. Every year, we've improved on something, you know, and a couple of them have been the live shows. And I feel like this, with this format that we've got set up, I hope it's just another improvement in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about some of the questions that we get frequently. This is our FAQ. It's pretty similar to the one we post for the World Championship Zones every year. It's obviously very familiar to what we've done for our TOC regions the past couple of years. So you're familiar with a lot of these things, but this is just a quick refresher course for those who already know. And maybe if this is your first time, maybe you'll learn some different things here, because we still get some calls about this stuff pretty regularly. And the first thing is going to be the deadlines. It's important to know the deadlines. We've already kind of talked about the entry deadline for this year, but March 11th, Monday, March 11th at midnight Eastern time is the deadline to enter your dog for the tournament champions. There will
be
none
entered on the Tuesday. That's on the evening of March 11th.
Yeah. You call on Tuesday and you forgot about it or any of that stuff. We want to help you. We want to have as many dogs as we can there, but our hands are tied. We got strict deadlines, and there's nothing we can do about it. So please, please get those dogs entered up before then.
And the other deadline is
each night. Sorry, y'all. Deadline to confirm your entry each night at the regional location is 3 to 5 p.m. Yeah. 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern, local time at the region locations on Saturday or Friday and Saturday night at your region location. That'll be the deadline to get confirmed there. So even if you're pre-entered, you see yourself on the list and all that good stuff, you have to go to the table and check in with the Master of Hounds at your region location between 3 and 5 to let them know that you're there, or else you're not going to be able to hunt that night.
And that's the reason for that is so they'll put you in the draw, because if you don't confirm, they're not going to put you in the draw each night. And very important, very, very important, just both Friday and Saturday. We can't hit on that enough, probably. You got to do it both nights. Just because you did it Friday night doesn't mean you don't have to do it Saturday. You got to do it Saturday. Hey, you just got to pay attention a little bit at what's going on, you know, and read the information that we put out there, and hopefully folks are listening to this and there's no excuses for it. But
one note that we should talk about, don't call the Master of Hounds or the event official, maybe even if you know them, to confirm your entry. More than likely they're going to have between 100 and 250 dogs in their region that they're trying to confirm at that same time. They really don't have a bunch of free time to be talking on the phone about maybe you left a little too late or you know, you got to stop and get gas and you're going to be cutting it close. What you need to do in the situation where, you know, maybe you have a legitimate reason, you have a flat tire or you're stuck in a traffic jam that you weren't prepared for, maybe you need to call someone that's at the event, someone you know, who surely you're going to know at least one person there, or if with Facebook, everybody's friends with everybody, make a post on there to somebody at the event, and then they can confirm your entry at the event to buy you a little bit of time so you can still have the possibility of hunting.
Yep, and I can enter your dog, or I can confirm anybody's dog, you know, I can confirm your dog for you. But yeah, don't call the official and ask them to confirm it for you. That's not going to happen. Either you do it or you get a buddy to get your dog confirmed. And then you need to be there when they call them out. You got to be there. There's no exceptions to that. You need to be there. You know, I say there's no exceptions to it. You know, I just want to make it clear. A couple of years ago at one of the, you know, they used a satellite club where they sent some of them. They had some of the handlers that had their buddies or somebody confirm their entries, and then they sent their cast to them at another place. That's not what we're talking about here. And I think it kind of created a little bit of an issue. That's not it. But it's not like if you're hunting off the grounds or what have you, you need to be there when your cast is called. So if you're hunting off the grounds.
Yeah,
and as far as I know, most of them will be, as far as I know, right?
I would think so. I don't know of any of the ones who are using satellite clubs, but, you know, maybe that's something you ask if you have questions about it at the event. There'll be somebody there from the club that'll be with the Master of Hounds, and they should have any information you may need there at the time.
Yeah, another question maybe that we need to, there's no paperwork that you need per se, but it will help the entry takers if you have your easy entry card. If not, what they're going to be looking for is the first owner on the dog's record, the first owner's last name. So if Trevor and I own a dog together, Gingrich and Wade, I need to make sure I let them know that either I am the first owner or Trevor is the first owner, so they can... Their entries are going to be in alphabetical order, so they're not looking for a dog and spending a lot of time, you know. So, but that's where the easy entry card helps them a little bit. If anything, it would be a help if you had that to give them the easy entry card as reference.
Yeah, absolutely. One question we get a lot of is about, especially with pre-entry events, females coming in season. We have pretty much the same policy here across the board. This is for UKC events across the board that are pre-entry. You can put another dog that's qualified and registered to the same owner in place of a female that comes in heat, but you can't put any dog that may not have had the qualifications or maybe in a different person's name. They can't be substituted in. If you don't have another dog to substitute in, you need to get with UKC prior to the event happening and let us know about the female coming in heat. That way we can get a refund initiated. Can't call us the week after the event and let us know that the female came in heat last week. Doesn't work like that. You got to let us know beforehand. And if you drive all the way to your region location and you pull your female out of the box to, you know, let her empty out and stretch her legs and you find out she's came in heat, I need to just go ahead and take her up to the Master of Hounds and have him confirm it. That way he can let UKC know about your female being in heat and he can help us get a refund initiated for you.
Yep. And that happens sometimes, you know, unfortunately, you know, but yeah, it's not going to work the next day or Saturday or anything like that, you know, so, but up until Friday at entry time, we'll accept it so long as they had notified us and here's the thing, notifying us means the hunting ops department. It's going to be Trevor, myself, Lacey or Lexi that are going to take those phone calls, you know, but we'll have a list started and get your dog on that list, but you got to do it, before that Friday. Veterans cast is another one. No veterans casts at the regions here, just like we don't have them at the world championship either. Veterans are handlers that are 55 or older. No veterans cast here. Spectators, Trevor.
Yeah. Spectators here at the regions and at the finals as well, there's no such thing as spectators on these casts. What we call them is backup handlers. And you know, each person is just allowed one. I know in a regular hunt, you're allowed to have two spectators, and that's great. When we get to this level of an event, there's a lot riding on these events, and it seems the less people that are in the woods, the better, the less issues there seem to be. So for that reason, you're allowed one backup handler. That backup handler needs to be notated on your label on the scorecard. So whether you do it at the entry table whenever you're confirming your entry, or whether you have your judge add that backup handler's name to the card after you guys meet, you can do it then. Backup handler can either stay at the vehicle or walk along with the cast at the regions. If you make it to the finals, we'll talk about that there, but we're talking about the regions right now. They can either stay at the truck or walk. And I guess the last note we have on here for this, if you allow backup handlers to shine trees, that's a decision that needs to be made by the cast at the beginning of the hunt. Refer to Rule 10B for that. Go ahead and do that before you guys ever turn loose.
Yep. And they'll talk about that. The event officials will talk about backup handlers as well before they take them out. But it's good. It's a question we get all the time. So there you go. Judges. So at the regions, they're going to use hunting judges, and those will be selected by the field reps that are the officials. And we try to help them a little bit. The UKC does a little bit, when they need help. But hey, the other thing I would say, when you come up to confirm your entry or what have you, oftentimes I'll just admit it. Anytime somebody comes up to me and kind of asks to judge or something, that's usually a red flag for me. You don't need to bother to tell the officials that you can judge or whatever. They know and we appreciate it, obviously, you know, but they pretty much know who can judge and who can't, you know, or who they want to use. And it is important. That is an important part of this event. And if you are selected to judge, man, we appreciate you. Take the responsibility on and be reasonable about things and do it right, you know, and that's not necessarily to give you an advantage, and it shouldn't be an advantage to anybody that's judging. Maybe the only advantage is that hopefully you're doing it correctly, you know, matter of fact, sometimes it's kind of a little bit of a disadvantage, but all that said as well, we really appreciate those guys that do judge. And then lastly, if you're asked to judge, obviously, the rules do allow you, if you are withdrawing and have to leave the cast, that you can pass the card on to somebody else. But man, I wish we did not have that rule. If you're asked to judge, I would so much rather, if you think you can't judge or can't judge for the whole duration of the hunt, don't accept the responsibility to begin with, you know, but yeah, so hunting judges, another thing that you have to be, the judges have to be at least 18 years of age, and that's even if they're just a hunting judge, and that they need to have enough experience, knowledge, and the integrity to perform the duties that is required and expected of them. And like I said, the event official will at their discretion have the authority to assign a non-hunting judge to any cast that they deem necessary if that comes up. So, but yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. Hey, real quickly, and it's not in here anywhere, but just talking about guides, that's something I get some messages or calls about from time to time, is you could guide for the region. We don't handle guides. It's not part of our entry process. What we do is we send over the list of entrants over to the host clubs after entries close, and they'll work on getting the guides. If you're available to guide and you don't know who the host club contact is, then you can get with us and we can get you in touch with them, and they'll see if they'll be able to use you to guide. So that's the way that works. To put a bow on the judges there, obviously hunting judges at regions. Once we get to the finals, non-hunting judges from there on out. So once you get to the top 96, we'll have non-hunting judges the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Let's talk about hunt time periods. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's what I was going to get at, you know, and I think it's very, very important that we differentiate the difference here for hunt time periods from the regions as compared to the finals. One is going to be your regular 2-hour event that you have to hunt 2 hours, whereas the finals are going to then switch over to be a full elimination or use full elimination rules. But at the region, that is not true. You're going to use your regular night hunt rules where you have to hunt 2 full hours, even if everybody else withdraws. Is that not correct, Trevor?
That's correct. And yeah, like you said, once you make it to the finals, it's a little bit different with the full elimination format, but regions is not full elimination format. It's just the the regular UKC night hunt rules as they pertain to champion casts. So
yep. What was that? 2 hours, 2 full hours you have to hunt, even if you're the only dog remaining.
All right, post and region scores. So something that we get some questions about from time to time. Last year, we decided to kind of emulate the zones where we were posting results live as they came in on Friday night with scores and cast winners. And then when it comes to Saturday, we hold off all the scores until all the casts are in or until the deadline. So whenever you're checking at Saturday and wondering what's going on, that's because we're not going to be posting anything until the conclusion of the hunt, until they're all in. And then we'll have full results available for everybody to see once the deadline passes or all scorecards are turned in at a given region location. All righty. So having said that, we'll switch over to talk about the appeal process a little bit. And the it's a little bit different here at the regions and for the finals at that for that matter. The appeal procedure is not in effect for any part of the Tournament of Champions from the regions on. We will have a UKC field rep at each of the 6 region locations, going to be being the master of hounds there, and their decision is going to be final in all situations. Now, what sometimes may happen is that they may be on the fence about a call. You know, there's some strange things that happen sometimes, and if that pops up, then they can call either Alan or I, and that happens sometimes, not very rarely, honestly. A lot of times the field reps are very sharp on the rules. They know what they're doing. But if anything pops up where they may have any question at all, they'll give us a call and we'll get it all sorted out that night. There won't be any waiting for an appeal to come through or anything. We'll have already rendered our decision that night. So,
yeah, and the field rep, the official, is going to determine whether or not they're going to call us, just because if I have a question or as a hunter has a question and they don't agree with the field rep's decision, they can't request that they contact us or anything like that. That's going to be up to them whether they do. There's going to be some that, you know, some questions. These guys have done this for a long time, most of them, and they have made these rulings before. And it's just those, if they just want to make really, really sure that, and that make sure everybody's on the board with their decision, they will contact us to discuss it, you know, so before they render a decision. And it works pretty well. It's really worked. We've done this now for I don't know how many years, and it's really worked pretty well.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in constant contact with the field reps at each region through the night. They're sending me pictures of their scores as they roll in and everything else. So it's a fun weekend. I'm really looking forward to it. Let's talk about placements real quick. We briefly talked about it up top already. The 96 dogs that are moving on. We don't know as we're sitting here today how many entries we have total and how many entries are in each of the 6 regions. So we don't know a number of dogs advancing from each region as of right now. But that number will be advertised and given out to everybody before the hunts happen. And how that works is it's prorated. So it's based on the number of overall entries compared to the number of dogs entered into a given region. As simple as that, simple math that we use to get those percentages. And whenever, let's give a hypothetical here. Say you entered into the Tennessee region. There's 800 dogs in entered overall, and there's 100 in your region. And let's say you're sending 20 dogs onto the finals. What we'll do first to get those 20 dogs is take the highest scoring double cast winners. Those will be the first to advance. We've never had to turn away a double cast winner before. And then to fill the rest of the allotment, we'll take single cast high scoring dogs. To fill out the rest of that. And we usually take a pretty good chunk of single cast high scoring dogs as well.
Yeah, and this one is a little bit different. The regions for the Tournament of Champions is a little bit different than our zones are for the World Championship. Whereas in this one, a dog may, in fact, withdraw on the first night and is still eligible to hunt on Saturday night. The only time a dog is no longer eligible to compete on either night is if the dog is scratched for fighting, or the handler was scratched for handler misconduct. Handler gets scratched for misconduct or unsportsmanlike conduct, then their dog is done as well. And it doesn't matter, and they're scratched out of the event. Let's say you had a good score on Friday night and good enough to advance what Trevor was talking about here. You end up getting scratched for unsportsmanlike dog or unsportsmanlike conduct. Your dog's going to be done too. Not going to advance in that case.
Keep your cool.
Yep. Be reasonable. Be reasonable.
Let's talk about cast wins a little bit. Any dog winning its cast with a total score of plus points on Friday or Saturday night at the regions will get a cast win towards their degree. Even if you don't advance on, those are still cast wins in UKC license events with plus points, so you'll still get a win towards your championship degrees. Getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but at the finals, it changes again. We're talking about full elimination format events. We've been using those for a while now, so people may be more familiar with that now. We've talked about it on here a lot and in different places. But once you get to the finals, if you get a cast win, it doesn't have to be a plus point cast win at that point with in the full elimination format rules. Then if you advance to the next round, that's a cast win. You'll get a cast win towards your championship degree as well.
Yeah, that's just so folks don't get confused with the regions is not considered full elimination. You don't use full elimination rules at the regions. That does not come into play until you get to the final 96 at Greencastle. Payouts. Prize payouts will be, we've noted here in our rules that those will be paid within 3 weeks, made with a check and mailed to the first owner within 3 weeks of the completion of the Tournament of Champions finals. But I can tell you this, we have so far in the first 3 years, we've had it in our Clash of Champions at Beagles and the World Championship where we do money. We have always had our checks out in the mail by the following Tuesday, and we mail them like second day. So generally, they don't guarantee. Matter of fact, the post or the UPS or does not even guarantee next day service anymore, but most of them will have them by the next Friday. The only time we could not have a check printed by that next following Tuesday was when we did not have a W-9 from the recipient, whoever that recipient was. So that's why it's important that they, when you enter here, that you also included your W-9 when you enter your dog for the regions. So we already have that. We don't need to run you down for that because that will hold up your check if you do make it to the finals. Now, the other thing you might ask, well, how come can we get the checks out this quick and registration papers don't make it out as quick? Well, I can tell you it has everything to do with tracking and second day. So that does make a big difference there. And with tracking, if it does get hung up, we can see where it is. So we've done very well and it's worked well. So just we say 3 weeks just to give us that time if something were to come up. But so far, we have not had any complaints at all about it. So and generally, folks have had them by the next Friday.
Yeah, and we'll after we know who the top 96 are, we'll be mailing out a little bit of a packet. One will be an info sheet with kind of times and stuff to know about the finals, and then also a W-9 form that you can fill out and either email in to me or just bring to the event to turn in as you're confirming your dog. So it's a really simple process, and we'll make it as easy as we can on you guys. And it'd be time to hunt, man. I'm excited for it. It's hopefully this is a lot of information, I know, but a lot of this stuff is published. Or all of this stuff is published places where you can see it. If you have questions about it, reach out to us in the hunting ops department. We can help you out. And other than that, it's time to go hunt now.
Yeah. Hey, congratulations again to everybody that qualified at all. Got your 5 cast wins and hopefully you got your dog entered up by now by the time this comes out. If not, you're down to the nitty gritty. March 11th at midnight in the evening is going to be your deadline to get your dog entered and get it entered, and good luck at the regions. And man, we're excited about it. We've got, like we talked about here, we've got a few changes at the finals as far as the Friday thing. We're going to have the 2 rounds there, and the first night of live stream is going to happen on Friday, and then Saturday will be that live version will be half the amount of what we've always had, and I think the viewers are going to love that. So we're excited, and we feel like we've learned a lot from each year, and like we talked about, we try to improve things a little bit, and hopefully we've got a few more things we're looking to try to improve on, and hopefully those will work out for us. But we're excited for it and can't wait.
Thank you for listening to the UKC Hunting Ops Podcast. Be sure to give us a follow so you don't miss any of our new episodes or content.